If you have your Bible and you'd care to follow along as we read, we'd be happy for you to do so. I did mean to say, I thought Brother Stotler did a great job in preaching for us the nights that he was here. And I really enjoyed his fellowship and company. And he is, I'm sure, arrived back home safely. But I thought it was a great blessing for our church for him to be with us. And I hope and pray that we'll have the opportunity again sometime to work and to labor in the vineyard of the Lord. I want you to pray for me tonight. I really need your prayers. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now that's my lesson for tonight, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and it will be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to use as my thought to the night, tonight, satisfied with Jesus. Satisfied with Jesus. There are many promises that have been made in the scriptures. Peter said that it is through these exceeding great and precious promises that God hath made us partakers of the divine nature. God saw the need of the human family, and God provided a means whereby we could be redeemed from our sins and can be a child of God and have a home in heaven when this life is over. And God's promises are true. They never fail. Now, we hear lots of promises made in the world today. A lot of them, you know, are not sincere. They're just promises. There's an ulterior motive in many of the promises that are made in the world today. But there's no ulterior motive in the promises that God has made. And God promised, you know, that he would save to the uttermost all that would come unto him. And I want you to think about that as I talk to you just for a few minutes tonight. I don't purpose to preach very long. But this promise that I read in your word here tonight, especially in this third verse, this, I want you to listen. Incline thine ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Now, that promise came directly from the heart of God. I believe that God meant every word in that statement. We know that as individuals, we are by nature sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. And anybody who is honest will have to admit that. There's none perfect except the Lord Jesus. He said that himself. He said there's none perfect but one, and that's God. And so the rest of us, we have faults, and we've made many great failures. And the reason why is because we have a sinful nature. And so we follow our natural instincts. We sin because we're sinners. We're not necessarily sinners because we sin. If it wasn't for the fact that we have a sinful nature, we wouldn't sin. But anyway, we are sinners. And so God has a desire to the work of his hands. You know, in the ninth verse of the second chapter of Hebrews, the Bible tells us that we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste of death for every man. And the reason for that is because the Bible said that God would have a desire to the work of his hands. God made man, and he made him without sin. He had not committed any sins. I don't know how long he lived in that sinless state. But the time came when he disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, he became a sinner. Because sin is the transgression of God's law. And God had said, do not eat of the tree of midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But Adam partook of that tree, and that brought sin into his life, and that brought sin into all of his posterity's lives. And so God does have a desire to the work of his hands, and he provided a plan of salvation for everyone. Now we know this. We know that God does not desire anyone to perish. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe, in verse 9, it says that God is not slack concerning his promises, but he is long-suffering to us. And Brother Stotler made that point quite well the other night, didn't he? God is long-suffering to usward. And he's not willing that any should perish. And so he has a desire to the work of his hand. We sing softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. And I want to just share this with you. Now, some of you were here, and you probably, I'm sure you heard this. But when Emma was seeking the Lord the other night, we had had prayer, and when the prayer ended, her little brother, Austin, he began to sing, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He sung all four verses of that song by himself. Nobody said a word. You know, but softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling for you, and he's calling for me. And that's the way God deals with the human family. That's the way he deals with sinners. He tenderly calls. You know, God, he manifests his love in many ways. But the greatest demonstration of God's love was the gift of his Son. And the Lord Jesus came and he made that atonement for sin. And the Holy Spirit works, you know, in conjunction with the Word of God. And through the Holy Spirit and God's promises, he tenderly calls for men and women and boys and girls to come to him and to be saved from their sins. And I think we should be very thankful that God, you know, loves us enough that he does endure our disobedience, and he puts up with our rejection of his word and the rejection of the Holy Spirit. He does that because he wants everybody to be saved. And so this lesson that I read said, ho. Now, if I understand, that means stop and listen. Stop and listen to what is being said. He said, everyone that thirsteth. Now, a thirst, you know, is a craving. It is a longing. It is a desire. You know, when you're out in the summer and you're working hard, you know, and perspiring, your body begins to dehydrate, and a thirst arises, you know, and you begin to crave, you know, and desire cold water, you know. And Jesus refers to this here in this lesson. He said, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. You remember reading in the fourth chapter of the book of John, that Samaritan woman. Jesus was sitting on Jacob's well because he was weary. And she came to draw water. And Jesus said, give me to drink. Give me a drink. She said, you know, I don't understand you being a Jew asking a drink from me who is a Samaritan. Said, because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus said, woman, if you knew the gift of God and if you knew who I am, you would ask of me and I would give you living water. So, you know, the allegory or the illustration in making plain to us how God deals with our souls. And that's what this is all about. It's all about soul salvation. That's what this chapter is about. He refers to it as being, you know, water, the Spirit of God. We read over in, maybe I can find it, but in the seventh chapter of the book of John, there's a verse of Scripture over there, and I want to read it for you if I can find it. It says that in the last day, now this is while Jesus was here on the earth. And this was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And he had been up to the temple and perhaps was still in the temple area when this took place. But anyway, it says, Jesus stood and cried. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now listen, in parentheses, Jesus explains that. He said, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And it says that for the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. Now that doesn't mean that when they were saved, that they did not receive the Holy Spirit in their hearts. They did. But that gift of the Holy Spirit that had been promised and was manifested on the day of Pentecost hadn't taken place yet. But you know, the Bible tells us this, that in 1 John, I believe it's chapter 5 and maybe verse 10, it said, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. And I believe that every person that is born again, that is saved by God's grace, I believe the Spirit of the Lord comes and takes up his abode in his heart. And it is a witness, it is a testimony that we have been saved, that we have passed from death unto life. Now I'm going to go back over here just for a few minutes and look at this passage of Scripture a little bit further. Now he said, come ye, if you're thirsty, if you're craving, if you desire to be saved from your sins, he said, come, he that hath no money, let him come. And he said, come and buy and eat, come without money and without price. And he went on down then and he said, hearken diligently to me. He had already said, hold, stop and listen to what I've got to say. And now he says, hearken diligently unto me. You know, if there's anything we need to pay attention to, it's what God has to say about being saved. Because that's the most important thing in life, is being saved. I've said that quite often. I don't apologize for saying it, because I know it is important. And we want everybody to have the opportunity to be saved. And we want them to know how to approach God and how to seek the Lord, that they may find him and have the knowledge of salvation in their own hearts. And so he says, hearken diligently unto me. He said, eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You know, there's the greatest delight that you could experience is being saved. It brings joy to your heart. It brings peace with God to your heart. And the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And so in verse 3, he said, incline your ear. Listen, are you listening, he says. He said, come unto me. And he said, hear, and your soul shall live. I'm glad today that God has made, provision for us. When we realize that we're lost and in sin, and the conviction that we speak about. And I really do believe that conviction is fundamental. The Bible says, I believe it's in maybe Psalms 34 and verse 18. He said, a broken heart and a contrite spirit God will not despise. And so that contrite spirit is the results of conviction, of being made aware that we're sinners and that we need the Lord. And so he said, incline your ear and come, and your soul shall live. And he said, I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. Now God made an everlasting covenant with David, but God will make he makes an everlasting covenant with every soul that comes to Jesus, every soul that's saved. God has made promises concerning the salvation of the soul and the benefits of salvation. The covenant with each of us in regeneration and in salvation is an everlasting covenant. He said, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. Now that's the everlasting covenant that God makes with us. And we're so thankful that we can depend on what the Lord said. If the Lord says, that he's going to forgive our sins and remember them against us no more, you can believe what the Bible said, that our sins are put behind his back. And they are put in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. And the reason for that is because we have inclined our ears unto the Lord. And we have come to him. And we have come convicted of our sins and troubled because of our sins, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. In the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, I believe it's maybe verse 9, I might be mistaken, I could turn, but it said, blessed, he said, I'll have to go because they just left me. Let's look at chapter 5 just for a moment here, and it's the 6th verse. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, for they shall be filled. I think a part of seeking the Lord, is wanting to be saved. I mean, really wanting to be saved. You want to be forgiven and you want to be free from that condemnation that rests and abides upon us. And we just pour out our hearts to the Lord. He said that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And I believe that is really the truth of God's word. And now, he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now there, you can't get saved just anytime you want to. The time to get saved is when the Lord is convicting you. And when he has made you aware that you need to be saved. When the Holy Spirit has created in you that hunger and that thirst, to be saved. And that's the time to seek the Lord. The Bible said, if you hear his voice, if he's calling you, if he's saying, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the fountain. You can have a drink of water that's living water. It will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Everlasting life, eternal life. That's where that everlasting covenant comes in there. But I want you to notice just a little bit more. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. God don't save us in our sins. He saves us because we have forsaken our sins and because we desire to be delivered from the bondage of sin. And we want to be free from all of that guilt and that condemnation that we feel. And so he said, seek him while he's near. And he said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and he will abundantly pardon. He don't just forgive some of our sins. He forgives all of our sins. I was in a revival at Mount Zion several years ago, and there was a young man. He came to the altar, and he was brokenhearted, and he prayed for a little bit, and he got up, and out the door he went, out the front door, But before he, when he got up off the altar, he said, "Will you go with me?" And I said, "I will." I didn't know where he was going. I said, "I'll go." Well, he turned around and out the door he went. And so I said, "I'd go, so here I go." And I went out the door too. And he went down into the cemetery. And he was bowed down on his granddaddy's grave. And he was praying and he was confessing his sins. He was naming them one by one, every one he could think of. He was asking, you know, "The Lord, forgive him of this one and forgive him of that one." And I said to him, "Son, your granddaddy can't help you a bit. He's dead, you know. He's in heaven. His spirit's in heaven. And his body's in the grave. He can't help you." I said, "Let's go back in the church where people can gather around you and can pray with you, you know." And I told him, you know, you don't have to confess each sin individually before God. When you come to God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and you ask the Lord, "Lord, forgive me of all my sins," He'll forgive you of every one of them. And you'll be free from the guilt of sin and condemnation. And so, he said, "Seek the Lord while he can be found." I just want to refer to that Samaritan woman just a minute, and then I'm going to be finished. But this woman, you know, Jesus, he brought her under conviction. When she came to that well, she had no conviction at all. She just came to get a bucket of water, going to carry it back to her house. But Jesus, he initiated the conversation with her. You know, I believe that Jesus initiates the salvation of every soul. I believe he is the one that brings conviction. He has a means. He uses his Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And that's what he done with her. As he talked with her, he said, "If you had asked of me, I'd give you living water." And that got her attention. Maybe she had never heard about living water before. But anyway, she saw that he didn't have a bucket and he didn't have a rope. She said, "Where are you going to get this water?" Said, "You have nothing to draw with and the well's deep. Where are you going to get this living water?" And Jesus told her, you know, he said that whoever drank of that water would thirst again. But whoever drank of the water that he would give her. And he wasn't talking about literal water. He is talking about salvation. He is talking about the Holy Spirit coming into her heart and coming into her life and blotting out her sins and setting her free from guilt and condemnation. And he said, "Whosoever believeth in me, I'll just turn to it and read it. He said, fourth chapter. "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." That's part of that everlasting covenant that he makes with us. You get saved, you're saved for all time and for all eternity. Because God seals your soul with the Holy Spirit. That's what Ephesians chapter 1, and I believe maybe verse 12 says, that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. When you get saved, the Lord seals your soul. And that is a down payment on the complete salvation. Do you know? God's not only saves your soul, but one of these days he's going to save our bodies as well. We're going to redeem, our souls are going to be redeemed from the power of the grave. And we're going to be changed. Our bodies are going to be changed. And they're going to be glorified. Well, we don't have that yet. You know, but we do have the earnest of the Spirit. The down payment on it. The assurance that you have salvation. And that one day, not only will you have, you know, be with the Lord in heaven, but He's going to change your vile body that it might be fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Son of God. Someday we're going to be like Jesus. I'm so glad and thankful for that tonight, we're going to be like Jesus. And we're going to enjoy heaven. But let me read the rest of this. Whoever drinks of the water that I give shall never thirst again. He said, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him. That's that Holy Spirit that he gives to everyone that believes upon him. It shall be in him. And he said, a well of water. A well of water. You know, the Bible talks about a lot of people, you know, they have forsaken the fountain of living water. And they're hewing out cisterns for themselves, you know. A cistern is a man-made well. And water, rainwater is caught and it's put in. And it gets stale and it gets stagnant, you know. But Jesus said, many people have forsaken the fountain of living water, and they've hewn themselves out cisterns. He said, wells that can hold no water. It leaks out. My uncle used to have a weeping willow tree in his backyard, and he had a cistern in the porch, you know. He had his house built, and he had it like he wanted it and everything. You know, but he could not keep those roots from that weeping willow tree out of his cistern. It'd grow right through. It'd find a crack. It'd go into there, and the water would leak out of his cistern, you know. And that's the way some people, what they're depending on for salvation is nothing more than a man-made cistern. But God, when you get saved, He puts within you a well of living water. He went on and he said, I'll give, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. You know, I'm trying to quit. But I've been up in Indiana, up north of Indianapolis, and there's a place up there, there's a big artesian well. And it just springs up, it overflows, it comes out of the ground and it just bubbles up and just keeps a bubbling up, you know. And you know, that's the way salvation is. It is a well of living water. It bubbles up, you know, every once in a while. We talk about our cup running over. David said that in the 23rd Psalm. You know, he said, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And sometimes, you know, we get in a good spiritual service, or maybe we'll be on our knees in our prayer closet praying, and that salvation that's in there will begin to bubble up, you know. It brings joy, you know. It brings joy. And I'm glad for the joy of salvation. And even David said this, the joy of the Lord's my strength. What keeps us going? The joy of the Lord. The blessings of God, what He can do for us. And it sprang it up, he said, in the water, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And you know what the woman said? She said, "Sir, give me this water. Give me this water." He had brought her to the place where she knew she needed this water. And that's the way salvation works. That's the way conviction works. That's the purpose of the preaching of the gospel. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, you know, to reprove us of our sins and bring us to the place where we want it. We want this salvation. We want it now. And we want it to take away the hurt that we're feeling. You know, conviction not a pleasant thing. I tell you, it's not a pleasant thing. When I first felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, boy, I did not like what I felt. I did not like it. I was immediately made aware of the fact, and it came to my mind, Mom and Daddy's going to heaven, and I'm not. I didn't want that to happen. I did not want that to happen. I wanted to go with them. I wanted to be where they are. And salvation makes it possible for us to do that. Jesus, he brought that woman, brought her sins before her. He surely did. And she realized she wasn't right with the God. And she said, "Give me this water." Now the Bible says this. Now I'm going to close. It said, "Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given you. Knock and the door will be opened for you." You know, I pray. Oh, how I pray tonight. Grieves my heart when people I love are lost and are convicted of their sins. Makes me want to help them, and I don't know how. Just pray for them and try to point them in the right direction. Say, "None of us can save you, but there's one that's mighty to save," the Bible says. Amen. Mighty to save. And he says, "You're saved to the uttermost." Uttermost. That means totally and completely. Not only he'll save your soul, he'll save your body one of these days. Saves to the uttermost. All, A-double-L. I'm glad that this salvation, you know, is personal. I'm glad that it is inclusive. I'm glad that it's for everybody. Jesus tasted death for every man. I'm glad it's for everybody. But it also is exclusive inasmuch as it is for each one of us as individuals. And there's not a thing in the world that can keep you from being saved except the failure to come to Jesus and to pour out your heart and ask him for forgiveness. And he will. I'm telling you, Jesus saves. We've heard the joyful sound, "Jesus saves, Jesus saves." So tonight, we're going to pray again tonight. And those of you that are not saved or you're not satisfied, maybe you're in a confused state, I don't know. But I want to invite you to come and let's pray again. I hope and I pray that tonight you can be saved and be satisfied. I know it's God's will. It's his desire. And I hope that you can come You know, it's without money and without price. You don't have to bargain with God. You don't have to say, Lord, if you will save me, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do the other. You know, you don't have to bargain with God. You come to Him just out of His divine love and grace. You know, He invites everybody to come and be saved from sin. Will you come tonight while we stand and sing? Will you come? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Is there another that'll come while we sing? Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? You know what the song said? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. That's what you need to do. The same.
Number 81.